It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. Pittsburgh is a city that prides itself on the championships won by its professional sports teams, but there hasn't been one here in a while. It's been 7 years since the Pittsburgh Penguins won the Stanley Cup championship back in 2009 against the Detroit Red Wings in a thrilling Game 7, which our next guest, sports writer emeritus of the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, Bob Dvorak, had a chance to attend. And just when it looked like the Penguins were closing in on another Stanley Cup this year, they lost the lead in their Eastern Conference Final Series with the Tampa Bay Lightning. They lost 4-3 in overtime last night in Game 5 of the series, and the Penguins now trail Tampa Bay in the best-of-seven series 3-2. So, Bob Dvorak, first of all, hi and welcome back to the show. How are you?
Great, Paul, on this manic Monday.
Yeah, the shoulders of the city of Pittsburgh seem to slump when the expectations are high and our heroes let us down. The Penguins had a 2-0 lead last night and then a 3-2 lead after two periods. How did the Lightning rally to win?
Paul, it's always darkest before things go completely pitch black here in Pittsburgh. It was just one of those unusual games. You're right, they did have the lead, but Chris Letang didn't have his best game. They were missing Trevor Daley. Fleury was playing his first full game in a couple of months. A lot of little things that added up, and what a disheartening loss in overtime to set up an elimination game, Game 6 on the road. It's a daunting challenge for sure.
Well, didn't you predict that this series would go 6 games?
I did, and you got to say that the Lightning is a strong opponent. Boy, they have a strong defense. Their goalie's playing great, even though he's 21 years old, and they stretch the ice with those passes. So it's a big matchup for the Penguins.
In Pittsburgh, there often is this, and I don't know if we do it because it makes us feel better, but there's always the Monday morning, or in this case, a Monday afternoon quarterbacking situation where the fans look back at who lost the game for us, whose fault was it, and that we have to single out somebody. Is that like part of the psychology of the Pittsburgh sports fan to make his or herself feel better?
It certainly is part and parcel of being a Pittsburgher. Blame somebody for this ruinous defeat that just destroys the mood on a Monday. And you know what? I can't look at it as a fan. I look at it from the team's point of view. They win and lose as a team, and that's what it's going to take to win tomorrow night. Is a total team effort. But pointing the finger at blame at this point, I think, is just a little premature. This is the roller coaster ride of the Stanley Cup playoffs. The playoffs really don't begin, according to the old saying, until you face an elimination game on the road. So Tuesday really is the ultimate test in this run.
Now, one of the big topics of discussion during the playoffs for the Penguins has been their goaltending situation. Their number one guy, the guy who was in goal when they last won the Cup, Marc-Andre Fleury, suffered a concussion at the end of the season. A backup goaltender who is just 21 years old named Matt Murray went in for him and has played so well and gotten the Penguins so deep into the playoffs that they have not dared to remove him from the lineup, even though Marc-Andre Fleury has been, the concussion protocol has been completed. He has been cleared to play. And yet it wasn't until Matt Murray finally had a bad game that they decided, okay, last night Fleury will get back in the net and reclaim his number one spot. And he looked a little rusty. And the fans are putting a lot of the blame on him, and they seem to blame Coach Sullivan for not sticking with Matt Murray. How do you assess it, Bob?
Well, without Matt Murray, the Penguins would have never gotten past the Rangers and the Capitals. He'd just been such a pleasant surprise. But I think the plan all along had been to try to get Fleury back in the net because he was their best player all year long. And because of the injury with a concussion, and he plays in goal, he hadn't played in a while, it was really tough to work him back in. I can't second guess or fault Iron Mike Sullivan's decision to start Fleury, because Fleury's going to have to steal a game for them to advance. And I thought he might do it last night, but I'm pretty sure he'll get another shot and have a chance to redeem himself tomorrow.
That's the big question everybody's asking. Will yes. Coach Sullivan go back to Murray, or will he stick with Fleury? What do you think?
And I think, and I'm just, you know, intuition here, I think he stays with Fleury as his best chance. He'll make the decision based on what gives him the best chance to win. And it'd be a lot of intuition involved in that, but I do think it would be Fleury. Without having lost defenseman Trevor Daley to a broken ankle, thanks to Dirty Ryan Callahan again, you know, it's a team challenge to make sure that Fleury doesn't see a whole lot of breakaways and everything. So that's what I mean. It's going to be a team effort tomorrow. That they're all going to have to play well in front of Fleury. But I think they like Fleury so much, he's the kind of guy they rally around.
And another thing about Marc-Andre Fleury that I think you as a sports writer would appreciate is that it was a bitter defeat for the Penguins last night, and that there were only, I guess, five players who were available to talk afterwards. And one of them was the guy who probably knew that he was going to be singled out for a lot of the blame, and that was Marc-Andre Fleury. And he sat and calmly answered in a very classy way all of the reporters' questions. Having been in the position of the reporter, Bob, in a situation like this where it probably isn't too pleasant to approach a guy who is not very happy at the moment and probably doesn't want to answer your questions, but you know that the clock is ticking, you have a deadline, you have to get an article in the paper and online, and Marc-Andre Fleury is a guy that you have to go up to and ask the questions to, and he's more than willing, as it turned out last night, to answer the questions. How much do you appreciate that kind of a response from a disappointed athlete?
Well, first of all, I don't miss that part about going into a losing locker room and having to get quotes on deadline to write right away. It's a daunting task. But, that's gold for me. If a guy is willing to sit there and take wave after wave after wave of reporters coming around and answering questions, well, that's part of the contract, too. But it does, it shows the professionalism of this guy to be able to handle that, know it's coming, give the right answers, and then move on to the next game.
We're talking with Pittsburgh Post-Gazette sports writer emeritus Bob Dvorak about the Pittsburgh Penguins Stanley Cup push. And, of course, the Penguins won. You got to see them win their last Stanley Cup. It was Game 7 in Detroit. I believe the date was June 12th, 2009. And you said you really had a chance to take that in. And you're a guy who's seen a lot of big sports events involving Pittsburgh teams and Pittsburgh athletes. But you said this one kind of topped it all for you. Explain why that is.
Well, it was Game 7 on the road against the defending champions, and nobody gave them a shot, basically. And because I wasn't writing on deadline for the Saturday paper. I had something bigger assigned to me for Sunday. I was able to just sit back and watch that game. And the last 10 minutes of that game, when they had a 2-0 lead, and just to watch them play, Crosby got hurt. He was out. And Fleury just withstood wave after wave after wave. Detroit made it 2-1. The shot rings off the post. And it was just a chance to drink in the atmosphere and the moment in Detroit, and just what a special night that was. So I always remember that. It was the most enjoyable game I ever saw in person.
Can the Penguins come back? What is your gut feeling about this current series?
Well, yes, they can come back. I know this is the mood in town to just go down, but you know, they've been a pleasant surprise ever since Mike Sullivan took over. So as long as you got a shot, they made it tough on themselves. They got to win a game on the road just to have a chance to come back. They do have a shot. I mean, you know, hey, the Pirates won in Yankee Stadium in 1960. They won a championship in Baltimore in 71 and again on the road in 79. You can win on the road, and sometimes it's almost easier in hockey because you don't have the distractions and the pressure. So, yeah, they can. I can't make a prediction. I'm hoping, like everybody else, they bring it back here, and let's see what a Game 7 might bring to the console arena.
Before we let you go, Bob, in another development, today was the final day that the beleaguered New England Patriots quarterback Tom Brady, not very well liked here in Pittsburgh, had to file appeal after his ban was upheld. His suspension imposed by the NFL was upheld last month for the whole Deflategate episode. And so he's appealing as of today for a second hearing with the second U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals over his Deflategate suspension. What do you think the chances are that he is going to be successful?
Well, I don't think they're going to be very good, and I think everybody would just wish that he would take his punishment and let's move on, because this whole episode has been so deflating, Paul. But when the lawyers are involved and you get back down into the fine print, who knows what's going to happen? But I think, like everybody else, I just wish the whole thing would just be over with and let's move on.
And before I let you go, we do have time for one more thing, and that is the big Triple Crown race over the weekend, the Preakness. Exaggerator won, defeating Nyquist. We won't have a Triple Crown winner this year. How disappointed are you?
Well, my horse went off at 5-2 and came in at 7:15, Paul. So, Nyquist did regenerate a whole lot of interest in horse racing in that Triple Crown, and boy, that big moment. But it just shows you how rare it is for a horse to be able to win the three races as they're set up. And Exaggerator was closing on him in the Derby, and he made up the ground on a sloppy track. So, congrats to Exaggerator, and we'll have to wait another year for a Triple Crown.
And the guy with us is no exaggerator, sports writer emeritus for the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, Bob Dvorak. Bob, thanks for joining us. We appreciate it. Go Pens.
You've been a beautiful audience.
Thank you for listening to Essential Pittsburgh. Tomorrow, we will talk about the result of the Freddie Gray case. The verdict is in. You'll hear more about it coming up on NPR News. Until tomorrow, I'm Paul Guggenheimer. So long.